He leaned the bike up next to the entrance and went back inside. In the bio corner of the lab, he got a latex glove and a plastic bag. Back at the reception desk, he picked up the blood-stained pad out of the trash can and put it into the bag. He emptied the Coke can out in the men's room and put it in the bag, too, gingerly holding it by the rim, and printed Sharon Valita on the bag with a magic marker. Trying to outthink an alien intelligence, they'd figured that one obvious avenue back to the artifact was Russell's weakness for pretty women. For women in general, actually. If Sharon had been a small, attractive Asian, he would be more suspicious. One part of him wanted the samples to have no DNA, so they could close the trap. A smaller part hoped she was just a sexy blonde with a sense of humor and a non-alien intelligence. He put the bag on the bio desk with a short note to Naomi. Then he went back to the bike and checked the cyclometer. Only 4 miles. One more to go. He pedaled off in the direction Sharon had gone, but didn't see her. Went home to shower before work, perhaps, or maybe to check the oil in her other flying saucer. Russell was lost in reverie, staring at the monitor without seeing it, and was startled when Naomi set the bag down next to him with a clink of Coke can. "Your Sharon has plenty of DNA, I'm afraid. Next move is up to you." "What?" "Oh, lunch." "Hope she tastes good," Naomi said with a lecherous wink. Russell balled up a piece of paper and threw it at her. Back to the secret message. He was putting together a one-page website that only Ray would completely understand. It was called A Ray in the Darkness and was headed with 3 photos. Russell and Ray flanking a snap of Stevenson's gravestone verse he'd taken the hour before she'd led him down the hill to the hotel. He'd skimmed through a book of Stevenson's poetry and didn't like much of it, but this one quatrain was not far off, and he typed it in. "Love. What is love? Love. What is love? A great and aching heart, wrung hands and silence and a long despair. Life. What is life? Upon a moorland bare, to see love coming and see love depart." Robert Louis Stevenson. Then he pasted in 30 characters of the artifact's message. 1101010101010101011001001001. And then his own message. "Ray, when I did see you depart, literally, I didn't know it was you, and it deepened the mystery. If you have to disappear, that's your decision. But you know that if there's anyone on this world you can trust, it's me. I know I don't know you, but I love you. Come back in whatever guise. Russ." There was a box for affinities, words that would draw a searcher or surfer to the site. He typed in Poseidon, Apia, Artifact, Alien, and so forth, ending with Ray Archer and Russell Sutton. He knew that the first people drawn to the site would probably be the CIA and their ilk, but there was no way to get around that. He assumed that Ray would be canny enough to anticipate them, too. The Rainforest Cafe was nostalgic 90s funk in a jungle setting. Bamboo and palms and elephant ears under blue lights and mist nozzles, quaintly angry rap whispering in the background. Russell felt a little underdressed in cutoffs and an island shirt. It was the weekend, but Sharon had come from work, wearing suit and tie. She loosened the tie and patted her brow with a tissue, prettily. "I should have suggested an air-conditioned place." "Glad you didn't. I was freezing in the office." She shrugged out of her jacket. "You've always lived in the tropics?" "In the heat, anyhow. You?"
"As soon as I could choose." Russell told her about growing up in the Dakotas. He'd gone to college in Florida and never had to live through another winter. "Most of my experience with being cold now is underwater, working in a wetsuit."
"Been there." She covered her mouth, laughing.
"When you don't have enough pee to warm it up." He poured her some iced tea.
"You dive a lot?"
"When I was in school, a little. Now I mostly snorkel. A guy at work took me out to the reef at Palolo last week. All those giant clams. I